меня слышите? Русские здесь, они все умирают. Я в ужасной позиции, не хочу умирать. Я не знаю, что делать. Ну я и тебя приезжай.
We were actually on the phone the other day with one of our prospective adoptee daughters. And it was right when the invasion happened, so we heard the machine gun fire begin in the background. The Russians have now leveled that town and they actually targeted the orphanage. So they were moved a little bit closer to the center of Ukraine, but the Russian army started approaching that area as well. So now they're being evacuated to the west of Ukraine.
When we've heard that there's a war in Ukraine, it was really shocking and unbelievable because I saw the city where I was born is getting bombed and exploded. So it's just kind of a surreal moment that's going on, and you just first you don't understand, you're shocked what's going on, and then the realization that there's a family, that there's our kids are here. We got a phone call actually, that's director of an orphanage. She asked, will you take all 60? In the middle of the night she called us, and then we said yes without even hesitation. We said yes.
Matthew Shea and his wife Victoria are in the process of adopting four children from a Ukrainian orphanage in Mariupol. A few moments ago, they just spoke to one on the phone. They are rattled. Russian troops are attacking the city. The director of the orphanage begs the head of the organization where Matt and his wife are volunteers for help. Promptly after the call, Matt and Victoria begin to organize a team that will fly to Poland, cross the border to Ukraine, and save 60 orphans from Mariupol. The Russians bombed the children's and maternity hospital in Mariupol and utterly destroyed the second orphanage. They dropped bombs on a school where 400 people took refuge, including mothers with children and the elderly. Matthew Shea, multiple decorated veteran of the US Army who served in Bosnia, Iraq and Kuwait. He represented the 4th Legislative District in the Washington House of Representatives. Today he's a pastor involved in charity work. Matthew's wife, Victoria, originally from Kharkiv, Ukraine, like her husband, is also a volunteer of the organization Loving Families and Homes for Orphans.
We, as a church, just prayed, God, what do we do? Like, how do we get these kids out of a really bad situation? So Pastor Matt Shea got a game plan, and he chose some of the church members, and I'm one of those church members who decided to come. I have a family back home, but I knew that we had to get these kids into safer area.
As the situation was devolving in Ukraine, he contacted me a couple of days before we left and said, looks like we have the opportunity to go and get the kids and bring them out.
When Victoria called me on Monday, I received a call and I took it and I called my husband. I said, can I go? He said, absolutely no. And then I told him, please put the phone down and pray. He said, I don't want to pray because I know I will let you go. He's a man of faith. He knows how things work.
In a 48-hour time frame, Matt manages to assemble a team of 5 brave men who travel thousands of miles to a Ukrainian war zone to save 60 orphans.
And then we flew all the way from Spokane, and then we barely made it through because of COVID-19 and all the other things. We barely got into Poland.
London. Boarding in 20 minutes.
Right here. Parking lot,
yes.
So.
Yeah, on the ground. So this is Poland. Looks a little lonely.
It's 8 p.m. at Poland, Warsaw, and we just arrived. And in the morning at 6 a.m., we have to be in Lviv. We'll see how that goes.
At the same time, Matt contacts his friends in Poland, who live 60 miles from the border of Ukraine in Lublin. He met Pastor Paweł Chojecki, editor-in-chief of Against the Tide TV, a few years ago in the United States. We're heading for the Okęcie airport to pick up Americans who are going to save 60 orphans from nearby Lviv, Ukraine. Lublin is about 60 miles from the Ukrainian border. It's a big city, far from warfare and the confusion at the border. We've been warning the world against the communist threat from China and Putin. So when he invited Ukraine, we joined Ukraine's aid efforts immediately. This is a great example of it. The Ukrainian nation is experiencing a historic trial. We Poles just can't miss it.
Tutaj, na trzy. Tak, dobra. Hej!
We try to sleep a little bit, but you know, because adrenaline is pumping, we're just like, there's so many emotions involved. Thank you for what you guys do. It means so much to us, and so many people are involved. So we really appreciate that. Yes, amen.
So, this lovely lady. He's feeding us with sandwiches and pastry. And look at us. He's devouring it. Yeah. Especially
very happy face.
Jesus, so good.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
So we are going to cross the border. We're going to link up with the orphans. Right now they're being evacuated, and we don't know exactly what this is going to look like, but right now it's by train, so we're going to link up with them, and we're going to make sure they're fed. Some of them haven't had a shower in a few days. We're going to make sure they're taken care of and get them to a place of safety, and hopefully that is Poland.
And could you describe every member of your rescue team?
Absolutely. Gabe Blomgren, he is our worship pastor, but he also was a finalist on American Ninja Warrior, and he always gets funny when I bring that up. Back here, Mike Munch. Mike is a general contractor and also a member of our security team back at the church. And then, of course, my lovely wife, Victoria, who has the biggest heart of anybody. She's so sweet. And Anna, who is Victoria's friend and my friend as well, we need somebody very tough. We need a tough mother to go with us. That's her. And she's dealt with kids that have experienced trauma before too, And so we need somebody that's very experienced with that, because obviously these kids have had a very traumatic last 24 hours. Two war zones before in my life in Bosnia and Iraq, so I'm not afraid, and it's worth the cost to go into a war zone to help out orphans, absolutely.
What was your first thoughts when Putin invaded Ukraine?
Well, we had warned some of our family members that it was coming, and it just seemed surreal, I think, to them that nobody would really do that. That was back in World War II, and yet Putin has said time and time again that his intent was to invade Ukraine. 2005 in a speech he said it, 2013 in a speech he said it. Last July, 2021, Putin actually wrote an entire article about why Ukraine needed to be annexed. So he's been very clear, we should listen to our enemy's own words, what they say, and take them at it, because he's acting on those words right now, and he's almost acting as if he doesn't get it, nobody will, and he's leveling entire cities right now, which is obviously pure evil from a Christian perspective. When Christians are not involved in politics, wars happen, and that's what we're experiencing right now. Because Pavel is very well known in Christian circles in America as a great Polish patriot.
Yes.
Yes. So he would have been fighting right alongside Jan Sobieski back in the day if he was alive then. So we know him because of his courageous stand for religious freedom and religious liberty. We just thank you for being so hospitable and being here for us and being here for the orphans as well. It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing that you guys are here for us. So, Slava Bogu, blessings to you.
So, we leave the highway. 5 minutes and we'll be at home.
At Matt's request, Pavel organizes a team to help the Americans save the Ukrainian orphans. Poles provide transport, accommodation and food.
Look at this spread. Pastors and so welcoming. I am definitely overwhelmed and undone by the love. By the love and hospitality. Wow. There's a huge body of Christ all around the world that is just so excited to help. And
you know what they did? We show up in the middle of the night. They have a full, huge dinner for us ready. And they're like, what do you need? And I said, I need 2 buses. Just a second. 30 minutes later, we got 2 buses for us at 2:30 in the morning. Then he turns around and he's like, do you need snacks for the trip? Don't worry about the gas. Don't worry about the drivers. Everything's paid for. Everything's taken care of. Go get the kids. That's the kind of hospitality we need as a church. Amen.
Cornelia called me that there was a need for 1, then 2 buses. A lot of things changed along the way. I said that if this works out in such a short time, it has to be by the grace of God. I spoke to the bus owner. I informed him of what's going on and that we need to go to Ukraine tonight. He stopped. To Ukraine? Tonight? I said I will call him in 15 minutes, so I did, and he agreed to take us. We were at his place at around 3 or 4 a.m. They got in the coaches and drove off. Members of the rescue team hardly had much time to sleep before departing for Ukraine. Some slept for an hour, some didn't get any sleep at all.
So we had 30 minutes of sleep, shower, ready to go. Let's go to the border.
However, they have no time to lose. Putin's troops are attacking more Ukrainian cities.
There was another Russian army advance toward the city of Zaporozhye, and they were evacuated from there.
Matt and Victoria are in constant telephone contact with one of their adopted children. The orphans managed to board a train from Dnipropetrovsk to Lviv, where they are sent to arrive at 10 in the morning.
Be with us in trouble. He will rescue us and honor us. With a long life will he satisfy us, and let us see salvation.
Despite the fact that the Americans enter a country where war has erupted, you cannot see fear in their eyes, only determination.
We have been flying 20 hours, driving for another several, and thank you everybody for your prayers right now. We can feel the love. God bless.
Держава дві особи.
Прошу.
Транспорт поправки. Чехи прав.
Polish bus drivers take the Americans to Ukraine. A sad sight awaits them at the border. Thousands of Ukrainian people flee the Russian aggression. At the Ukrainian border, thousands of volunteers work around the clock to help the refugees. As volunteers, we try not to be alone, and we prefer to have our hands full of work instead of wondering what's happening, because it's hard, burdensome, and very moving for us.
We met a pastor, and he was very friendly, and he helped us to bring us in contact here to the borders, and he brings us to the places where we can give the people the packages.
Right now, the volunteers, people of goodwill, and inhabitants of the surrounding villages are full of enthusiasm. We need to recognize and prepare that this is not a sprint, but a marathon. Poland admits the refugees even without a valid passport. Poles invite the refugees into their homes, flats, hotels. Several million of Ukrainians have already found a roof over their heads, thanks to their Polish neighbors.
When we crossed the border heading into Ukraine, we had a really nice Polish border guard who helped us with the whole COVID thing, because they're like, you're supposed to actually be staying in Poland for a little while. And we're like, we're going to get orphans. And he was really nice. And then on the Ukrainian side, they searched the car, asked us a bunch of questions. Then they cleared us and we left. And then we went up and they're like, you don't have the stamp. We're like, what stamp? So they turn us around to go back and get the stamp. And then we leave again.
The team goes through another checkpoint. They observe how in merely a few hours, barbed wire and blockades are forming. The Ukrainian army is preparing for a Russian attack.
Every single road off the main highway had a checkpoint from the border to Lviv. Every single one had a checkpoint with bunker sandbags, armed guys from that neighborhood. They were protecting each neighborhood. It was very, very well organized. The checkpoints And the bunkers were built up really fast. They were building them that day. And we actually talked to somebody and said, hey, what do you think? And he said, we expect the Russians to try to come down from Belarus at any time. And we saw quite a few people going into Ukraine to fight. Volunteers.
Got my man right there, my commander. He's got the USA patch on the shoulder. Got burning buildings. We got mortars. We got rockets. We got all the fun stuff to make it a beautiful day.
Finally, at 10 in the morning, the rescue team reaches the suburbs of Lviv. It's hard to get through to the city center. Streets are jammed, full of refugees from eastern Ukraine. There's chaos and anxiety in the city.
Just the downtown Lviv area took us probably 2 hours to get from the outskirts of town into the train station. And definite air about the city that was not a happy city at that time, you know.
The last part of their journey, they take on foot. A car and two large buses remain under the care of Polish drivers. When the Americans arrive at the Lviv railway station, they cannot believe their eyes. The crowded platforms are reminiscent of the stations of World War II, when the population of the cities was fleeing massively from the German aggression against Europe.
The smell. In war, you always remember smells. The smell in that train station. It was like a smell of desperation almost. And people were nice. They were actually very cordial. But you could... It just hit you in the face as you went in there. It reminded me of those movies of World War II. And of how... just packed, everybody was in there, and just
they can't find the orphans. They descend into the basement of the station, where they break through the endless crowds of Ukrainian refugees who are also seeking shelter. Evidently, it turns out that the train on which the orphans are traveling is significantly delayed. Americans are waiting at the station for a few more hours.
People are desperate. You can see it out there. But even in the midst of all this, we've agreed that they're much more civilized than Americans on Black Friday agreed. They show respect for each other. We didn't see any pushing or shoving.
What was really also very neat from a Christian perspective was there were acts of kindness that were still happening.
Finally, after 4 hours, the train arrives at the Lviv station with the orphans. Americans run across the platform to hug and greet them.
It's one of those moments that just makes your heart swell, you know, with joy when you see the joy on the children's faces, seeing their soon-to-be parents, you know, and the parents' faces, seeing their kids. It's just, it was a beautiful moment.
When we were there in Lviv at the train station, the children came running up to us and jumped into our arms. Those are moments you remember for the rest of your life.
Just want to do a video just of a moment here that I just shared with these kids being dropped off out of that particular trailer right there that they rode in, number 2. For hundreds of miles, they escaped through a war zone, and I just can't believe how awesome it is just to be here. The level of innocence and just the strength that they have all along. So sadly, some of them just, they didn't have anybody to hug like Matt or Vika. And you could just see it as they watched. And God, you've got them in your hands. I know you've got them.
And then we grabbed all their worldly possessions and we marched straight through the middle of the whole crowd that was outside the train station right to the buses, and people actually were trying to get on the buses. And we're like, no, it's for the orphans. They were nice. I mean, when we said no, they were trying to get on the buses. And that's when ABC News came up to me and was like, hey, what's going on?
Every train in this country heading westward is now for refugees only. No tickets necessary. And I gotta tell you what I just saw. A group of 60 orphans from Mariupol. Their orphanage has been obliterated. They are now here carrying food and boxes. They have nowhere to go. And this is just the beginning. The UN is now talking about 4 million refugees.
However, the mission is not complete. The rescue team faces yet another challenge: to flee Ukraine as soon as possible.
So we have everybody on board and we're headed back toward the Poland border right now. So fantastic. A lot of happy kiddos right now.
Some people wait at least a few days on the Ukrainian-Polish border. How will it be in their case?
It's hour 6 at the border right now. We're next in line, it looks like, at least one of our buses. So we're keeping up and praying.
It was only supposed to be about a 3-4 hour drive, and it ended up being 28 or 26 hours, something like that, by the time we got there and back, because the situation on the ground was a lot worse than we expected.
Fortunately, they only wait 8 hours at the border.
We good?
We are good.
1, 2, 3.
Freedom!
Children are finally safe on Polish grounds. Now there is only a few hours drive left to arrive to a beautiful town near Lublin, where volunteers, organized by Pastor Radosław Kopeć from the New Covenant Church in Lublin, are waiting. Orphans will finally get a chance to rest in a hotel, journalist's house.
How are you doing?
Rescue mission, and it was dangerous.
It was very long, actually. It was about 60 hours from the United States to here and then back out of Ukraine. We spent about 8 hours at the Ukrainian border, but as we were driving out, we learned that many of the Ukrainian local communities were organizing because they believed the Russian military was going to be there in 24 to 48 hours. So it was coming very, very quickly, so it was very timely to get everybody to safety.
We were there in the morning, bright and early, around 4 or 5 o'clock. Children were mostly asleep. As tired as they were from the multiple days of bus, then train, then another train, then another train to a bus station, they were just simply amazed with what they were seeing at the time of destination. When the two buses arrived and the crews, everybody was very tired.
We had a bus, two buses, and those buses were just amazing. Those bus drivers were awake for probably
50 straight hours at least, so without any rest.
How much time has passed since you were told the orphans were coming to Poland? It was a short message. I was asked if I was able to accommodate this many people. I was sure I wanted to do it. We quickly said that this is not a problem for us, that we were going to do whatever we can for these children to feel at home here. Why did you decide to do it? I love children and I like helping. What did you feel when you saw these 60 orphans from the destroyed Ukrainian orphanage? I had tears in my eyes, and I'm happy they're here.
First of all, thank you. That was extremely helpful and very well done that we were able to get them out. So, Tarasowiecki, thank you very much.
In this mission, people from different parts of the world cooperated. We didn't know one another very well or at all. Yet we worked like an old, well-organized team. Only God can do this.
This was otherwise impossible without you guys, so thank you very much. So right now, we are trying to coordinate some state help with the children.
And we've had some really generous donations from the European Union and also from the United States of America to help make this happen here. And we have many volunteers.
For all the volunteers that are going to be working with Anna to keep everything managed, Anna is the point of contact to the other Anna.
Communicator.
Okay. Yeah. She has a very good relationship
coordinating.
With her. Okay, so everybody will go to her, and then we will be good. Okay, so Tim, you're in charge of the meals and however else to help. Mm-hmm. You're going to be with Peter. So Cornelia,
medication.
And they're going to help upstairs in the playroom with the kids. Okay. And then we have a couple other volunteers, like Gabe is going to take some of the kids outside and we'll help manage.
Everything happened in one day. I was amazed that so many things were put together. The director of the journalist's house in Kazimierz Dolny was very helpful. As I was speaking to him, I said, the kids should be here in the morning. He said, oh, I thought I was going to sleep well tonight, but hey, there are more important things. All these people knew that it was the time for helping.
Anna and Victoria are going to figure out who is going to work with those kids, the ones that are a little bit more difficult.
So Gabe, the guy, he's an American guy, the one that will do sports, he needs a person who understands Russian.
Yes. So Victor, are you one of them?
Oh yes, he can speak both.
Yeah. Okay, so you can speak both?
Kids are doing great. All we need is set schedule times and organizations. Lunch was perfect.
What I liked the most were the conversations with the kids. The poems I learned in school and at home in Russian helped me a lot. I showed them to the kids. They needed it. They needed someone to calm them. They needed to be understood. I saw the kids had been brought up well in Ukraine. When I started to teach Polish to one child, he could already read in Polish. The kids have a buffet during breakfast, a two-course dinner, and a warm meal for supper. They were exhausted after the travel, but later on it got easier. Volunteers and guardians helped tremendously. We stayed in touch whenever we needed something. We worked with children before, during the summer camps and theme camps. Kids and teenagers visit our hotel, but we know these kids are from a different country, from a different background, so our approach also has to be different.
How are you feeling now, like after a couple of days with this mission?
Fantastic. We have some sleep now, and like I said, the children are doing well. This facility is probably one of the best in Poland for this. We have a soccer field, we have basketball hoops, we have two activity rooms, we've got a theater, plenty of volunteers, and a great kitchen staff that's helping us out here as well. So this is probably one of the best places in Poland to be, and it's a resort. So of course, it's a good place for the children to heal and to recuperate, and then also to begin learning and going on with their lives.
People from all over the world come to Poland to help Ukrainians. Pastor Hayecki's church and television are contacted by Hong Kongers from Great Britain. They themselves recently had to flee their homeland, suppressed by communist China.
Why do you do that?
We have experience oppressed by the CCP. We have came across some experience that we shout out, hope that the all nation help Hong Kong, but nobody say something. Or maybe they just voice out blame on CCP, blame on Hong Kong government, but do no any other real action. We have apathy. We know what is the feeling of Ukraine. They just walk along to fight for their freedom, fight for from Russia.
Foreign media has also learned about the rescue operation. Journalists from the United States, France, Ukraine, Greece, and even Taiwan and Mexico came to Kazimierz Dolny. The situation in Kazimierz Dolny at the journalist house is very good. The children have full care. We, as a municipality, provided medical care. If necessary, we also provide some supplies, although I must admit that the residents of Kazimierz are up to the task and help a lot. They provide food and necessary hygiene products. I was there on the spot. I talked to Mr. Matshay. I talked to the volunteers who work there. I talked to the director of the journalist house. Everything there is in order. The children are indeed fully cared for. They have come to a place where they can feel safe.
Hey everybody, just wanted to give a couple thoughts on the kingdom in times like this. We're not supposed to be sitting on the sidelines. We're supposed to be going out and helping anybody that's in distress, actually. And these are things that we can do as Christians that, you know, we don't need credit for. We don't need to be put on the front page of a paper or something like that. We just need to give the credit to Jesus Christ for putting us in the place and then moving through each one of us to affect lives forever. Everybody that's been a part of this the last 24 hours is going to remember this the rest of their lives. And it's going to have that profound effect of Jesus Christ's love just breaking strongholds down, breaking through trauma, and restoring families. We sit in a comfortable bubble back in America with our comfort beds and our my pillows and everything, but there's a whole different world out there that needs us as Christians to act.
To me, Pastor Shea used to be a politician I had the pleasure of meeting briefly in 2018 in the United States. I glanced at his social media from time to time. Today, I can say that he is my friend. And that friendship, you might say, has proven itself in action. It has proven itself in difficult situations. It has proven itself in rescuing children. Pastor Shea also told me a story from the war in Iraq when he was there risking his life and he had his last day of service. He was about to go home. Then they had to travel the most dangerous section in the area, the route between the base and the airfield. Of course, they got into their armored Humvee vehicles and took off at full throttle. And then, somewhere in the middle of the route, Iraqi children suddenly stood in front of the cars. The driver asked, "Captain, what do we do?" Pastor Matt just said, "Jesus," and said, "Stop." The driver demanded confirmation because he knew that stopping in this dangerous area was certain death for the American crew. Matt repeated, "Stop." Well, then, with a squeal of the brakes right in front of those kids, they stopped. They got out not knowing if this was an ambush. But these kids told them that there was an ambush just prepared for them a few miles away. In other words, those children saved their lives, and the Americans saved the lives of these children. Later, a tank came from the other side, disarmed that ambush, destroyed it, and Pastor Shea returned home safely. Even on his last day of service, he was willing to sacrifice his life to save Iraqi children. This time, he sacrificed his life and risked his life to save Ukrainian children. This is how friendship is born. The ninth week of war has passed. 5 million, that is two-thirds of all Ukrainian children, has to flee their homes. At least 150,000 of them were abducted deep into Russia. As a result of Russian aggression, thousands of Ukrainians were killed. It is difficult to estimate the exact numbers. The United Nations said the Russians had already murdered hundreds of Ukrainian children. However, this data does not include reports from cities such as Mariupol, where war is taking place. The mayor announced that up to 20,000 civilians were killed there. From Mariupol, we left towards the village of Rozovka. It was already taken by the occupiers. We had problems because there were 18 occupation checkpoints. They took a very long time checking, asking various questions. They were throwing all the things out. We were also worried that these people wouldn't think anything unnecessary, so that we would manage to stay alive. At the beginning of March, first the electricity was disconnected, then the internet, water and gas. We were disconnected from the rest of the world. We thought everyone had forgotten about us. We didn't have information about the humanitarian corridors. We cooked food on a fire. We had water. We collected snow and melted it on a bonfire. Or we collected rainwater or brought it from the sea. There was no food in our neighborhood at all. I would like to thank you. It's very nice that they take us in and give us good living conditions. I am very pleased that the Ukrainian people are not forgotten and that they are trying to support them. Not trying, really supporting. There are still over 100,000 people in Mariupol. Ukrainian troops are heroically defending the city. When I woke up on February the 24th, I already had a lot of messages from Poles on social media. Daria, is everything okay? So from the first minutes of this war, I saw the support of Poles. I understood that these two nations, Poland and Ukraine, are heroic nations, because as you know, Poland has the second place in humanitarian aid to Ukraine, because the first place is of course Ukraine. But Poland gives us the most humanitarian aid and psychological aid of all other countries. Now in this war, first of all, you can see who is who, even when it comes to countries. who simply says, oh yes, Ukraine, we are with you, and does nothing, and who says nothing, but simply does. I would like to start by expressing gratitude on my behalf and on behalf of many Ukrainians. Gratitude towards Poland, which has really shown that it is a true friend of Ukraine. Poles and Ukrainians are close to each other, and you can always count on Poles.
А поляки і українці są bliskі собі і на поляків завжди можна лічити.